This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is the evening edition with Lynn and Kelvin. It is 6:38 in the evening. And for our next story, it wasn't so long ago that we were hearing about censorship and Bohemian Rhapsody. Well, now, Deputy Home Minister Mohammad Aziz Jaman said that any element or scene deemed to be promoting inappropriate culture, such as lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender cultures, I suppose, LGBT, will not be approved for public viewing.
So he said that these aspects are related to national security, public order, socio-culture, decorum, morality and religion. LGBT issues falls under the socio-culture part of that. So the board, will remove and will not approve any scene and dialogue that promotes such culture in films and dramas. He was responding to Ahmad Amzat Mohammed, Pastor Kuala Terengganu, on the government's move to curb inappropriate culture such as LGBT in film and drama productions in the country.
He also went on to say, though, that scenes would not be removed if there were lessons to be learned from the scenes and acting, and that films with characters who are gangsters, for example, needed to have critical moral lessons, such as depiction of members of the public assisting the police in clamping down on crimes. I believe that there seems to be a fundamental misunderstanding between what is a film and what is a PSA. I think that seems to be the fundamental problem here.
I think so. And that was my experience with 1-2 Jaga. I've heard that there are different endings depending on if it was screened, I think, either on Netflix or the international film festivals and also locally. So locally, the film ends on a note that this person was arrested under this MACC charge. It's a very long list of laws that these persons face, and they don't quite explain why they were charged that way. I think in the other endings, it was more vague and it highlighted how police officers and even anti-corruption officers may be involved in whatever acts in that movie regarding bribery. They were all kind of morally vague.
Which might be a more narratively satisfying ending, I think. But
which is something that I guess on the ground we are kind of aware of, that police corruption is actually a real thing.
But with this need to teach characters lessons in order to teach the audience lessons, I think I don't really think that's going to work out. And I also think it speaks to a larger possible misunderstanding about how affected people actually are by viewing movies and TV. I personally have never watched something, I mean, since I was a child wanting to buy a toy after having seen it in an ad on television. I don't remember feeling deeply influenced by something that I watched to the extent that it affected how I behaved. I'm not saying that we're not visual creatures or that we're not people who process the things that we watch and then internalize some of that, but I don't think it's as simple as you see an element of culture and then you suddenly want to be it or support it. I don't believe that that transposition happens so easily.
I think so. I mean, there might be some truth to it in, let's say, the fact that we ban direct advertising directly to kids.
Yes,
I think that's important. But
yeah, but that's kids.
That's kids, right? With shows like this, where adults are making active choices to watch them, why are you still treating us like kids? Like, maybe the theme of this hour might be paternalistic behavior, one with the AUKU or the UUC earlier, and now with this again. The government just can't seem to shake off the idea that, hey, we have to protect our adult citizens from possible influence from either LGBT or you know, watching a gangster film. Hey, that's cool. I want to be a gangster now.
In all fairness to our government, this isn't something that's restricted to our country. I mean,
yeah,
banned bits of pop culture, whether it's music or movies or television, that has been something that we've seen worldwide in Western countries. It happens a lot. It's not exclusively us, but it does raise this issue of, does it actually work that way? Does culture transference actually work that way, where I see a movie and that is the influence it has on me? So to try and get a handle on this, we're crossing over now to Joel Low, clinical psychologist and director at the Mind Psychological Services and Training. Joel, it's good to have you on the show. So let's begin with that very question. How much influence do movies, TV or other sources of pop culture have on the public, especially on the young?
I think it has a lot of influence, given how much credibility and attention that we give it, lah. I think a lot of times, especially kids and high school kids, you know, we spend a lot of time on online and social media, watching TV shows, TV series and movies and all that kind of stuff, right? I think because of our inherent exposure to those kind of media, repeated exposure as well. So I think it's a really big influence on their lives, definitely.
But can any direct correlation ever be made between something that's expressed in pop culture and its impact in real life?
So whenever we talk about direct correlations, I'm actually quite careful to confirm or disconfirm, because there's never really a direct correlation, you know what I mean? Because like, if you talk about like films on suicide, for example, or songs about suicide, if there was a direct correlation, then anyone and everyone who's heard the song before would commit suicide, you know, right? But that doesn't happen in that sense. So I think, you know, it's definitely not a direct correlation. I think what it does instead is it emphasizes or enhances the experience of someone has, you know? So let's say, for example, if they were already feeling a bit down or feeling a bit sad and they heard a sad song, and a really classic example for this is, let's say, for example, a breakup, right? So if you're breaking up with your partner or you're going through a breakup and you hear a sad song like on the radio and you feel even sadder about it. So I think it enhances what the person already has. Like, to say there's a direct correlation that you watch a sad movie and you become sad after that, I don't think so. But I think it's an enhancer, a mood enhancer, so to speak.
So let's talk then about LGBT representation specifically. What do you make of the argument that showing LGBT scenes is a promotion of the culture or practice of it?
I think it's a bit too simplistic to say that, you know, if you show LGBT scenes, then it will elicit a rise in LGBT culture in our society. I think, you know, if you were to argue that exposure to this kind of genres or this kind of situations would mean that you would then be more susceptible to it, then, you know, everyone who's ever seen a gay couple or a lesbian couple, for example, would be susceptible to it, right? So again, going back to my earlier thought about how it's an enhancer, I think it's the same thing as well. You know, if you inherently do not have those kind of LGBT thoughts or ideas or tendencies or persuasions, then, you know, watching a movie or not watching a movie would not matter very great deal in that sense. Yeah. That being said, you know, considering that Malaysian is a multicultural society, we have multiple religious aspects and all that, I can sort of kind of see where the argument is coming from. But to say that that will curb the situation or that will reduce the situation or make it not so, I don't think that's that powerful in that sense. And there's so many different ways people can have access to this kind of information as well, right? So I think those are my thoughts on it.
Why do you think pop culture is so often at the heart of debates around public morality? For example, violence in TV shows, sex in music, and so on?
I think just simply because of the fact that it's pop culture, it's popular culture, right? And because it's popular, it's on the tip of everyone's tongues, it's on the top of everyone's head, you know. So whenever we talk about it or we think about it, we think about the thing that's most recently occurred, in that sense, right? And because human in general, our memories are pretty short, right? So whatever catches our attention at that moment, at that time, that's what we discuss about, that's what we talk about to no end, in that sense, right? So, for example, if I ask you what was the greatest hit or the biggest trend of 2017, right? It's the end of 2018 now, and I think a lot of us would be hard-pressed to name whatever it is, right? So I think because music and TV shows and movies and all that kind of things, they are popular genres. They are things that people talk about and watch, and this we're talking about the majority here, the masses here. So whenever it comes up, it becomes a topic of conversation. And I think that's why, you know, we talk about violence, we think about TV shows, we talk about sex, we think about music videos and all that kind of thing. Right? I think that's what's happening rather than it being because it's TV show, that's why it's talked about. I don't think so. I think it's because it's popular culture, it's popular consumption. I think that's why.
But the thing is this, right? When elements of pop culture are banned, people nevertheless can get their hands on it anyway most of the time. And if anything, banning something just makes people more curious about it. So what then does a ban or censorship truly achieve?
I think it's one way of thinking about it. It's one way of trying to achieve a goal or a mission. I think, is it the best way? No. I think for me personally, education and discord and discussion and conversations are the more effective way, I suppose, to go about dealing with issues like this, you know. I think in terms of the ban, like I said, you know, it does serve some purpose, but whether it's the purpose that ultimately is the desired goal, whether you're going to reach it, I don't know. I don't think so. Given like what you said as well, you know, you ban this thing, everyone's going to talk about it, everyone's going to know about it, and then say, oh, cool, let's go find out more about it, right? So I probably don't think it's going to be as effective as they want it to be. But yeah, that's what I think.
Joel, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us. That was Joel Low, clinical psychologist and director at the Mind Psychological Services and Training. Talk to us. I mean, have you ever been influenced by pop culture, like movies, music, into, you know, perhaps doing things that you might not otherwise have done? Or do you think that it's just there to be enjoyed and not necessarily something that's been a huge influence on you? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.